When I first came to this church, I actually came undercover because I had my president sit me down and say, hey, we're going to move you from where you're at and you're going to be going to Pleasant Hill. So my last Sabbath in Napa, I said goodbye, and then the following Sabbath I had a free Sabbath and I decided to come to Pleasant Hill and check you guys out. And I did. And there was one particular person that stood out, one with a great big smile, with a hand that stood out before I even made it to the door. And today I want to honor him because that was the first impression of your church, a loving, warm handshake, a beautiful smile, and that's Mr. Theo Davis. I don't know where Theo is. He's probably doing what he does best, taking care of our church and taking care of our people. But today is his birthday, and I want to sing happy birthday to him. Should we sing happy birthday to him? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Theo, wherever he is. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Theo, for all that you do, and we certainly do love you. Let him know that today. I have another thing that I need to cover, and this is instructions by my wife. I have a message from the Whites to all of you, and here are their words. We are very excited to share with you the birth of our two baby girls. Vienna is 5 pounds, 1 ounce, and Noe is 2 pounds, 13 ounces. We are all doing well and in recovery. We are so grateful for your love, prayers, and support, and welcome any messages of love during this time. Since our little sprouts are still in the NICU and we have family visiting, we will look forward to more church family support and possible visitations around mid-March when the girls are at home and much bigger. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are truly blessed to have you all in our lives. My wife is going to be starting a meal train for them. If you have a desire to sign up for this, there's going to be a sign-up sheet in the at the desk in the foyer. And if you want, you can come see Ashley as well to sign up for the meal train that she's going to set up for the Whites, as they're going to be needing some meals because there are no longer two of them. There's four of them. So we would really appreciate your help in that. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful day, Lord. Today, Lord, as we dive into your message, Lord, the words that you have prepared today, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, Lord, and that your name will be lifted up. May this message consecrate our hearts. In your precious name I pray. Amen. You see, this last several weeks we've been on a journey, on a sermon series entitled Building a New You. And I just want to share with you some of the subjects that we've touched on. It's been physical, it's been mental, it's been emotional. And just last week, Pastor Mitch, like he said, touched on a message of taking your thoughts captive and taking them to God. Amen? And so today, I kind of want to wrap that up. And I kind of want to share with you that these messages have been very relevant in my life. It has been very important in my life. I know that when we're talking about health, it can be a touchy subject. But I think it's truly important. And at least in my life, 6 months ago, I started my own journey of transforming, a new transformation in my life. You see, when I first got to Pleasant Hill, I was weighing 160 pounds. And when I got here and started going to potlucks here and started hanging out with you all, things started to change. Things started to change in my physical body. But 6 months ago, I started a journey that transformed my life for the better. And I would dare to say that it was actually a transformation that was almost God encountering. And today, I want to continue that as we wrap up this series of Building a New You and sharing what God has impressed, what God has shown me in my life, and I want to share it with you. One of the other things that I find very, very important that I have to say is that not only has these messages been relevant, Pastor Mitch, these messages have also been a foundational teaching of our church. You see, I believe God calls us to live in light of His grace, knowing the infinite cost God paid to save us. Through the Holy Spirit, we glorify God in our minds and in our bodies and in our spirit. Can I remind you of something? Read with me these next few words. We are called to be a godly people who think, feel, and act in harmony with biblical principles in all aspects of personal and social life. For the Spirit to recreate in us the character of our Lord. We involve ourselves only in those things that will produce Christ-like purity, health, and joy in our lives. This means that our amusement and entertainment, all right, now I'm talking to my youth now. The amusement and entertainment, we should meet the highest standards of Christian taste and beauty. While recognizing cultural differences, our dress is to be simple, modest, and neat, befitting those whose true beauty does not consist of outward adornment, but in the impressionable ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit. It also means that because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, we are to care for them intelligently. Along with adequate exercise and rest, we are to adopt the most healthful diet possible and abstain from the unclean foods identified in scriptures. Since alcohol beverages, tobacco, and irresponsible use of drugs and narcotics are harmful to our bodies, we are to abstain from them as well. Instead, we are to engage in whatever brings our thoughts and our bodies into the discipline of Christ, who desires our wholesomeness, joy, and goodness. That is taken from our beliefs. And today my prayer is that each one of us, including myself, will experience a transforming change take place in our life to see that God wants, to see what God wants to make us, that He wants to make us whole, so that you and I may live abundantly for Him. You know, a message is not good unless you start off with a story. And today's story is actually taken out of some of the Bible studies that I actually do with your kids. Just a couple of weeks ago, in one of my Bible studies with Miss Vanessa's class, we came across this story. Interestingly enough, the lesson was about our beliefs on health and how we should take care of our bodies. You see, we're teaching it to our little ones. The story goes like this. Carl won't say his Toyota Corolla is old, but the insurance on it covers fire, theft, and believe it or not, Indian raids. For 250,000 miles now, Carl's car has been as reliable as a sunrise, and he wouldn't trade it for a Corvette. Most car owners brag when the odometer rolls over 100,000 miles, and this actually means a lot to me because just a little while ago, my car broke down. And it went kaputs. And luckily, it made it to 200,000 miles. But I said goodbye to my first car. It's a sad day. But Carl is cruising towards three times the 100,000 mile mark. And he's still waiting for a mechanical breakdown. So what's the secret to a quarter of a million miles of trouble-free transportation? Well, it's actually very simple. Follow the maintenance schedule in the owner's manual. I think we all know that, right? The day Carl drove off the car lot, he determined to follow the manufacturer's guidelines. Even though he is not at all mechanically inclined, he can do the simple stuff. Every 4,000 miles, he changes the oil. Every 40,000 miles, he changes the spark plugs. And maybe every 1 million miles, he'll trade in for a new car. You see, the Japanese makers of the Toyota taught the world to make cars that last longer. Now, the Japanese are teaching people to last longer. Japan's health ministry surveyed 4,000 Japanese who are 100 years older or older and asked them the secret to their long life and healthy life. As it turns out, their secret is as ancient as the Bible. What these old timers shared has been in our owner's manual this entire time. You know, as friends of God, as Christians, this should not be a surprise. Over and over, we've seen how much Jesus loves us. Like any best friend, he wants the best for us. That's why God tells us in the Bible how we can live happier, healthier lives. By following God's counsel, we can get the most out of our friendship with him. Kids, today's special word is temple. Count how many times I say the word temple, and there will be, hopefully, a very healthy treat at the end of the service. I know this can be a very sensitive subject, but please take it for what it's worth. It may not be pounds that you have to lose. It may not be that specific thing. But maybe something in your life that needs transforming today. Maybe it has to do with your mind. Maybe it has to do with your emotional life. Maybe it has to do with how much we spend on our screen or how much entertainment we take in that is not good. And I want to look at the verse again that I kind of base this message on. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, I pray that you may enjoy good health. Now, this is a greeting, but what a greeting. What a greeting. I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you. Even as your soul is getting along well. You see, the Bible says to us, I want you to be physically healthy as you are spiritually healthy. Did you know the Bible says that? The truth is we already know what we need to do to take care of our bodies. We know that we have to eat right. We know we have to eat less. We know we have to exercise, right? We all know all of this. It's not rocket science. But can I point something out to you? It's much deeper than that. There's a much more important reason for us to be healthy. And that is the eternal implications. The problem for many Christians is that even if God told us what to do, even if God came down and told us, we still probably wouldn't listen. Listen, in my notes, there's some things that I highlight in bold and I kind of bring out the font because they're important. Listen to these words. These are some of the words that are bolded in my notes. It says, God wants us to take care of our body, not only because that's where we live. Look at this. This is awesome. Not only because that's where we live, but because that's where he lives. The Bible says he lives in us and he works through us, and anything God's going to do in our life, he's going to do it through our physical body. So if we're unhealthy, whatever type of unhealthy that is, and we're out of energy and we don't have the energy, then there's a lot that God cannot accomplish through us. This is a totally different motivation that I want you guys to take with you. Totally, look at it this way. If we're not healthy and God cannot use us, just think about that. Maybe that's a great motivation to get healthy. And that's what I want to share today. I want to motivate us to go that direction, to building a new you. Now the verse in 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20 says, everything is permissible. And Pastor Mitch shared this in one of his sermons, and I want to remind us of this. But not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, I've got the freedom to do anything I want, but I will not be mastered by anything. What is God saying here? Well, he's saying that some things in life are not necessarily wrong. They're just unnecessary. They're not beneficial. They're not helpful. And God says life is too short to do things that are not necessary. And he says, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. In other words, I'm not going to let anything, whether it is food, drink, sleep, sex, or anything, I'm not going to let that dominate my life. Because whatever dominates our life, it becomes a god. You know, Paul says this in these passages. This is also said, food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy it both. Paul continues and he says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality. Now, I know it says sexual immorality, but if you go along with me on these verses, look what it says. It points out that Paul is talking about this, but he doesn't exclude the rest of the other bad stuff. But for the Lord and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. How is Jesus raised? He is physically raised. How are we going to be raised? We are going to be physically raised. Our body will be raised. He will raise our body. And look what it says here in these verses, continuing. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Free from sexual immorality. There it is again. He brings it out again. But look at what he says. He continues. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he points this out because, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Now he doesn't exclude the rest of the sins. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, the passage highlights six biblical principles that I'd like to share with you. Six concepts. The first concept is, my body is God's property. My body is God's property. In other words, it belongs to him, and that concept is completely countercultural, practically in America, but also around the world. Because why? We're all taught growing up, as little kids, growing up, that our body is our own. It's my body. I'll do whatever I want with my body. I will mess it up if I want to. But God says, no, you won't. It's not your body. God says this, I own your body. I created it and just loaned it to you. It's not yours because you didn't make it. You didn't create your body. Think about this for a minute. Everything we see in life is created by God. And the Creator owns it because he made it. We don't really own anything in life. It's loaned to us by God. Amen? We didn't bring anything into this world, and we're not going to take anything out of this world. It's just loaned to us for the 90 plus or so years that we are on this planet. So think about this for a minute. We don't really own our money. We don't really own our talents. They were loaned to us by God. We don't own our time. It's loaned to us by God. We don't even own our body. It was loaned to us, and it is going to be loaned to us for maybe 100 years. But that's not really that long considering it in the light of eternity. We just get it for a while. God owns it, and he loans it to us. Our body is God's property, the Bible says. You created every part of me, it says. You put me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That was said by David in Psalms 139, 13 to 14. Bible concept number two. God expects me to manage my body. In other words, I'm not the owner, but I am the manager. I am to take care of it. The Bible tells us that I am the steward, and that's the old English word for manager. You know, just like we are good stewards of our money, good stewards of our property, God says you have to be a good steward of your body. Since it's a gift from God and on loan to us, one day you and I are going to stand before God, and we're going to give him account of our body. I will not be mastered by anything the scripture says. That's in verse 12 of the passage that we've been looking at. In other words, he's saying, I'm responsible for the decisions I make about my health and my body. And he said, I am not to let anything dominate my life, whether it's food, whether it's television, whether it's screen time, whether it's sex, whether it's, I took this from another pastor, Bathsheba.com, whether it's drugs, whether it's drink, or anything, I'm not going to be mastered by it. Think about this. One day, we're going to stand before God, and he's going to look at us, and he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? The book, Purpose Driven Life, by Rick Warren, teaches this. Life is a test. It's a trust, and it is a temporary assignment. And life is preparation for eternity. In other words, this life is getting ready for the kingdom. We're going to spend far more time on that side of heaven than on this side of heaven, the Bible says. God is testing us. Why are we on earth? God is testing us to see what we will be able to trust, or what he will be able to trust in heaven, in eternity. This life is a test, and one day he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? You remember that parable, right, of the talents? What did you do with what I gave you? God will ask us that. What did you do with the time that I gave you? What did you do with the money that I gave you? What did you do with the mind that I gave you? What did you do with the money that I gave you? What did you do with the intelligence that I gave you? The money, what did you do with your body? What did you do with everything that I gave you? This life is a test, and God is watching to see how we manage the gifts that he has given us. Bible concept number 3. My body will be resurrected after I die. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you see how important our body is? Can you see it? That even after we die, I'm not through with it, God says. It is so important, we're not going to leave it here. He says, I'm going to put it back together after you die, and I'm going to resurrect it. It doesn't matter if it's decayed in the ground or if it's been cremated. God says, I'm going to resurrect it, and I'm going to put it back together. And now that God that created us is certainly able to recreate our bodies, if he's able to create a new earth and a heaven for us, he can recreate our bodies. Bible concept number 4. My body. This is so awesome. When I read this, and when I was going through this change in my life, this spoke volume to me. My body is connected to the body of Christ. Isn't that cool? My body is connected to the body of Christ. Now, you may have not thought about that before, but the Bible says that your body, not just your soul, your spiritual life is important. Your body is also connected to the body of Christ. Look at the passage in 1 Corinthians 6:15. Do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ himself? That's why God cares about how you treat your body. It's connected to his body. The body of Christ. Jesus gave his body for us, and he wants us to honor him with our body. You know, of all the people, Christians should care more about our physical body and how we use our bodies more than anybody else, because how we treat our body is a reflection on the body of Christ. It is a testimony. Our body can be a testimony. Brothers and sisters, our body can be a testimony to the world. This is not about vanity. I know we can take it to the extreme and look like the movie stars, but God isn't asking us that. God is saying, it's simple. It's simply about making the most of what we've been given and honoring God with the body that we've been given and representing him well by using and keeping ourselves healthy as we can be. It's about being part of the body of Christ. Bible concept number 5. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. That is huge. That was another huge point for me. The Holy Spirit lives in my body. Not only do I live in it, he lives in it. God put his spirit in our body. That's why the Bible says your body is a temple. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? That means God takes residence inside of us when we put our faith in Christ. He puts his spirit inside our body. He becomes a temple. We become a temple of God. Look at what the Bible says. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. You and I are that temple. If we thought about that for a minute, if we just stopped and thought about that we are the temple of God, don't you think that's enough motivation to look at ourselves and say, God, I want the best that I can for my body. You see, throughout Scripture, God has always had a dwelling place. This is awesome. God has always had a dwelling place on earth. First, he dwelt in the tabernacle, the tent that was designed according to the specifications that was given to Moses. And the tabernacle was God's dwelling place here on earth. Then later, God gave instructions for building a temple differently than the tabernacle in Jerusalem, made out of stone. And God gave those specifications to David. Let me ask you a question. Where does God dwell today? Where does he dwell today? He dwells in you. He dwells in me. And all of those who put their trust in Christ. You are the temple. A temple of flesh. You are God's dwelling place. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, for we are the temple of the living God. Let me ask you this question. If you were walking on the side of the street, you're walking by this church, and all of a sudden you see somebody vandalizing this church, right? And actually the first 6 months that I got here, something like that happened to this church. Somebody threw a rock or a brick, and they broke both the windows in the foyer. And I felt pretty, you know, vulnerable. Who would come and destroy the house of God? Now just imagine somebody putting graffiti on the walls of this church or breaking windows or destroying our temple, this church. How would you feel about it? You would probably get mad, which I did when I saw that. You'd probably call the police, which we did. And you would probably stop it if you could, which I would have. It's not right to vandalize something that's dedicated to the worship of God. Can you agree with me on that? But you know what we do a lot of the time? We vandalize the temple of God all the time. Every time we put junk food in our bodies, every time we abuse our bodies, every time we go without sleep, and I'm speaking for myself, folks, this sermon is for me. Every time we stress out our bodies, you see, I know about stress. Ask my wife. Ask her about my anxiety. I had anxiety last night trying to get ready for the sermon. She said, calm down, it's going to be okay. We vandalize our bodies. Every time we misuse and abuse our bodies, we don't take care of it. We're vandalizing the temple of God. God expects you and me to take care of his temple. There's one last Bible concept. Jesus bought my body on the cross. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. You see, he not only created you, he also paid the ultimate price for you. Jesus paid your real estate. He paid for your real estate. If you want to know how much you're worth, you want to know how much you're worth? This is amazing. It just gets me every time. You want to know how much I'm worth? You want to know how much you're worth? Look at the cross. Look at his outstretched arms and his nail-pierced hands. Jesus says, this is how much I love you. This is how much I value you. Jesus says, I'd rather die than live without you. I came all this way from heaven to earth. That's how valuable you are to me. And how do we show that back to him? How do you and I do that? How do we honor God with our body? Romans 12:1 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. This is so awesome. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Did you know that worship is giving our bodies to God? He didn't say, we're all here worshiping God right now. But did you know that he said, it's not only about offering our will, our money. We gave our money earlier today. We gave our praise to him. It's not all about that. He also says, offer our physical bodies. Why? Because that's the only place you can serve God. You can't serve God without a body. Offer our body as living sacrifice. This is our spiritual act of worship. Did you know that taking care of our body is an act of worship? And you're probably saying, wait a minute, time out. Are you saying that giving my body to God, taking care of my body, being healthy, you're telling me that that is a spiritual act of worship? No, I'm not telling you that. God is. We do it out of worship to God. We're doing it to please God. We're doing it out of gratitude for all he has done for us. We're doing it so that he can use us for his purpose and his glory. Managing our physical body, our mental body, our emotional health, everything about our health, God says, is a spiritual discipline. It is a habit that we have to develop. In John chapter 5, Jesus met a man who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus walks to this guy and he asks a very silly question, but it's actually a very important question. The question found in John 5:6 is, do you want to get well? You have to be kidding me. This guy's been sick for 3 decades, nearly 4. And the first thing Jesus says, do you want to get well? Really? It's actually a pretty profound question when you think about it. He's been sick 38 years. You would think, well, of course he wants to get well. Jesus says, do you really want to get well? Or do you really just want to stay the same? That's the question, really. He's not just saying, do you really want to get well? Do you really want to just stay the same in the sick body that you're in? That's my question today. That's my challenge today. I think Jesus wants to ask us today, do you want to get well? Do you want to get healthy? A year from today, do you want to be in better shape, better mentally, physically, maybe less time on our screens, healthier? Today, he's calling us to say, do you want to be well? And you see, 6 months ago, God asked that question to me. He asked that question directly to me. You see, it was about at that time of the year where the conference has us go and take a screening for our insurance. And I got some results that were actually not very good. You see, I came to Pleasant Hill weighing 160 pounds, but you guys put on 41 pounds. I was weighing 201 last August. I couldn't put on this jacket. Now, it's not about pounds, folks. I'm not talking about pounds. It can be something directly for you, something different. It doesn't have to be this. This was what I needed to transform, because this is what was taking over my body. This is what was becoming a sin. When I'm having a Häagen-Dazs carton of ice cream every night at 10 o'clock at night, that is a sin. And it showed it. But God took me through a journey. God asked me these questions. This material that's coming out is God was challenging me and saying, Miguel, do you want to be able to think clearly? Do you want to lower your anxiety and your stress? Do you want to be fit and have more energy? And I know you're saying, how can you have more energy, Miguel? But trust me. Trust me, I have so much more energy. When I get home, I have more energy to be able to run around after Annalise. Now, the thing that I did, the step that I took was I got a life coach. I got on a diet, and it wasn't just a diet. The diet was eating greens, eating stuff from the ground, and teaching me how to eat again. You see, I was actually tasting the food for the first time. And I was learning and developing once again how it was appropriate to eat. And by the grace of God, I'm going to ask Rocio to put a picture up. After 2 months, God started showing me results. And yes, for me it was pound results. But maybe for you it's something else that he needs to change in you. Maybe it's something else that you're dealing with, something that you're struggling. Maybe it's an addiction that you're going through and you're needing salvation from God. You're needing freedom and you're needing, this was something that was suffocating me. And I didn't know it, that little by little I was killing myself. That was after 2 months. Today I'm wearing this jacket that I wore when I first got here. And I still need a little more room. But after that encounter with God, Pastor Mitch, the sermons have been so relevant because we can do something about it. We can apply it to our lives. God can show us results. Whether it is physically, whether it is mentally, whether it is emotionally, whether it's too much time on our devices, whether it's too much watching TV, whether it's too much of something else, God says you have the ability to be whole again. Thank you, Father, for those 41 pounds that I was able to lose. And I enjoy life a lot better. I feel younger. I feel energized. And I'm ready to work for His purpose. God wants us to be physically healthy as much as He wants us to be spiritually healthy. You see, it's a spiritual and physical connected together. Because we cannot accomplish all the things He wants to do in us. Because He wants to do great things in us, guys. He wants to do mighty things in us. He wants to use this body to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants to use our body for the kingdom, for kingdom's sake. And unless we've got the energy to do it, so why don't we make that commitment today? And I know we have some people here that have already started to make that commitment. Together to get in shape, to get healthy, and to work on building a body fit for the glory of God. There's a song that I learned as a Pathfinder. When I was a Pathfinder camperee 1 year. It's called Sanctuary. And I want us to stand together, and I want us to sing this without any music as our closing response to God. Can you stand with me and sing this song a cappella? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sing that one more time. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. We want to invite you to have prayer that you want. Come up. We have a prayer team of elders and a prayer team that would love to pray with you. Pray with me now. Lord, fill us with your spirit, Lord. Lord, remind us that we are a temple of flesh, that we represent you, the God of the universe. And God, you know what the cool thing is? You want to use us. You want us to be a testimony, a witness to this world. So, Father, I pray for a holistic life, Lord, in you, is my prayer in Jesus' name.